Hello and welcome to our site as we come to the second last sermon in our series, Minor Prophets with a Major Message. The prophet that we look at today is the prophet Malachi. And so if you have a Bible handy, would you please turn to the prophecy of Malachi? It's the last of the books in the Old Testament, and it would be a great help if you have that in front of you or on your device as we share together this morning. I've entitled our sermon, Truth for a Tough Season. Truth for a Tough Season. Malachi is a Hebrew word meaning my messenger. Malachi is the last book in the Old Testament because this was the last of God's prophets to the chosen race before John the Baptizer appeared on the scene 4 centuries later as a herald or forerunner of the Messiah. So, in a sense, Malachi is God's last word for a period of 400 years or so, before Jesus is born in Bethlehem. Malachi prophesies to the Jews who have returned from a 70-year exile in Babylon to Judah and Jerusalem. But now decades have passed, and although the wall of the city has been repaired and the temple rebuilt, life is not so great after all. The countryside offers a better life, and anyway, the temple is not nearly as splendid as the temple of Solomon. And so Malachi prophesies into a situation where there is disappointment. Some of these Jews are disillusioned even. People have become demotivated and, sadly, spiritually and morally decadent. The hopes of the exiles in the days of Zerubbabel the governor and Joshua the priest have now faded. As for the temple, nothing momentous has occurred to indicate that God's presence had returned to fill it with glory, as Ezekiel and Haggai had prophesied. Elijah and Elisha's day of miracles had passed, and the faith to see more miracles had long since waned. The round of religious duties continued, but without enthusiasm. Many were losing their faith altogether. So Malachi's prophecy is particularly relevant to those dry and difficult seasons that God's people often pass through. They're times of peculiar strains and temptations, when a living faith in God can easily be eroded. People lose touch with God and can even become cynical. Our default mode becomes self-centeredness and self-preservation. We take our eyes off God. We neglect our relationship with God. We no longer love God with all our heart, nor do we love our neighbor as we should. Vertical and horizontal dynamics fall into disarray. So the prophet Malachi, 4 centuries and a bit before Jesus comes, confronts, first of all, a decadent religious leadership, going through the motions, but shot through with corruption and compromise. God has an issue with the priests and their unfaithfulness and hypocrisy. Instead of setting a standard of true worship and service, they're a stumbling block. They're also guilty of syncretism, that is, mixing the religion of Yahweh with the false religious practices of their pagan neighbors. So Malachi confronts not only a decadent priesthood, but also a small and dejected nation of Jews who have become self-absorbed, apathetic, and downright mean, unwilling to part with their money, taking advantage of the poor and oppressed, breaking their covenant with God, and breaking their marriage vows. Easy divorce and easy remarriage was the order of the day, as though polygamy was to be frowned upon, having many wives, but consecutive polygamy was fine with God, having one wife at a time. And so the sanctity of marriage and family life was sadly eroded. Well, once again, what's new? What's new is that I've put the entire prophecy of Malachi into rhyme, and I'm going to ask you now to please have Malachi, the last book in the Old Testament, open in front of you so that you can follow along. When the Hebrew prophets wanted to express God's feelings, they often resorted to poetic language. And so imagine now that you are a Jew among the returned exiles from Babylon in Judah, and you are listening to God's messenger, Malachi. Are you ready? We begin at chapter 1, verse 1, and go through to chapter 4 and verse 6, the whole book. My messenger Malachi. Through my messenger comes this oracle, this divinely inspired word. This is what I say to Israel. This is the utterance of the Lord. My love for you, the children of Jacob, has been unconditional love from of my heart. I displayed my care for you more than my love for Esau's children, right from the very start. I betrothed you to myself, protected you and provided for your every need. Compare that to the plight of the Edomites, the sufferings of Esau's seed. You saw how great was my name, and how great my love's strong bond. You proclaimed my fame within your borders, and even way beyond. I became a father to you, though I was your master too. What happened to the honor you owe me? What happened to the respect I was due? When there were no more kings to reign and no more prophets to preach, I appointed you my Levitical priests to stand in the gaping breach. But you have dishonored my calling, brought utter contempt to my name. You were chosen to lead my people, therefore it's you I must blame. You have defiled my holy altar, bringing sacrifices crippled and lame. You have made my table contemptible, covered my house with shame. Your offerings are unacceptable, your fires on my altar in vain. I wish the door of my temple were closed, altogether, never to open again. You wink at hypocrisy, greed, and deceit, accepting the offerings of charlatan and cheat. But one day my name will be great among the nations, from the rising to the setting of the sun. I shall receive the glory due from every tribe and tongue. Listen, you priests, to the Lord Almighty. I admonish you for dishonoring my name. You have broken the covenant that I made with Levi. Therefore I now proclaim, the blessings I bestowed will be turned to curses. Blight will destroy your grain. My covenant with Levi was for life and peace, and he gave me reverence and awe. But you have violated that holy relationship, showing disregard for my law. Now even Judah has broken my covenant, just as Israel, my bride, has done. The whole nation has desecrated the sanctuary I love. A foreign god their hearts has won. You bring offerings to the Lord Almighty, then worship at a pagan shrine. But I see through your feigned repentance, and how can I call you mine? I now stand as a witness against you. You have rebelled against known truth. You have been unfaithful to your chosen bride, violated the wife of your youth. I ordain marriage to be a sacred covenant between one husband and his wife. But you have broken faith with her when you'd vowed to be with her for life. I was seeking godly children, who one father and one mother would raise, a family bound in a covenant of love to bring me glory and praise. I hate divorce, says the Lord your God, just as Israel has broken faith with me. I cannot stand it when a man violates his covenant and says, from my wife I am free. Judgment day is coming, and who will endure on that day? We will stand before the refiner, who will purge all our sins away. Adulterers will be judged with sorcerers, and perjurers alongside those who defraud. The oppressors of widows and orphans will fall by the sword of the Lord. You descendants of Jacob, you children of Judah, you exiles, return to my land. If you will only return to me, I will hold out my welcoming hand. Instead of stealing my offerings and tithes, bring them all to my door. See if I won't open the floodgates of heaven and an overflowing blessing outpour. I will make you a blessing to the nations. I will set you apart as my own. If you will repent of your arrogance and pride, my mercy will again be shown. I take careful note of those who reverence my name. I delight in their conversation. I write their names in my scroll of remembrance. They will never lose their station. The day of the Lord is coming. The Almighty will come from his throne. The ungodly will burn like stubble in a furnace. The righteous will shine like the sun. They will leap like calves released from the stall when God the Almighty comes. Therefore heed the law of my servant Moses, and look out for Elijah I will send. He will herald the coming Messiah, who will bring all evil to an end. What lessons do we take home today from Malachi, God's messenger? Here are five. Lesson number one, we must constantly guard against apathy and unbelief. We must constantly be on our guard against apathy and unbelief, because they open the gate to a lukewarm Christianity that makes Christ want to spit us out of his mouth, to use the King James language regarding the Laodicean church that we read of in Revelation chapter 3. What happened to the exiles, dear friend, can happen to evangelicals, to individuals and to congregations, a churchianity in which we're just going through the motions. When authentic Christianity becomes nominal Christianity, it's not Christianity at all. Here's lesson number one. As God's people, we must constantly guard against apathy and unbelief that can lead to lukewarmness, ineffectiveness, and depravity. Lesson number two, judgment begins at the house of God. It must begin, as Malachi points out, to God's priests. Malachi is a serious warning to Christian leadership to stay true to God in difficult times, when it's fashionable to blend Christianity into other religions and faiths, just as the Jewish priests were doing in Malachi's day. As the leader, so go the followers. Listen carefully, church leaders. Syncretism is Satan's agenda, not God's. Authentic Christian leaders will steadfastly contend for the truth as it is in Jesus, even though the world, the flesh, and the devil are arrayed against us. The faith once delivered for all to God's people, the true gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. To compromise the new covenant is to sell out to the enemy. Judgment must begin at the house of God. The third lesson that we can take home from the prophet Malachi, the covenant of marriage, in the eyes of God, is a sacred union. It is a sacred, lifelong union between a natural man and a natural woman, who in the course of the perfect will of God will give birth and raise godly offspring. Marriage is based on God's own covenant with his people, and the marriage relationship that Jesus has with his bride, the church. Easy divorce and easy remarriage is the way of the world, not the way of the Lord. It is intended to reflect the holiness and faithfulness and white-hot love of God for his own. God help us to retrieve the sanctity and the significance of Christian marriage, and of raising godly offspring, children who know the Lord and long to make him known to their children so that from generation to generation, as a covenant people, we will through our marriages and our family unit reflect what God requires and what God delights in terms of the marriage covenant and the generations of godly people flowing out of a godly marriage. When the marriage breaks down, the family unit breaks down. When the family unit breaks down, society breaks down. It happened among the Jews who returned from exile in Babylon. It's happening all over the place today in the 21st century. The covenant of marriage in the eyes of God is sacred. The fourth lesson that we learn from the prophet Malachi, generous and sacrificial giving to the Lord and to his work, is the secret of overflowing blessing. What an amazing statement that God challenges the people that he loves, the people he's chosen to be a light in the world. And he says, "Put me to the test. Bring the full tithes into my storehouse," says the Lord, "and see if I'll not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out a blessing there's not room enough to contain." The Old Testament had several tithes that were to be brought to the temple. In the New Covenant, we are the Lord's temple, as those who have been redeemed through the precious blood of Jesus, born again of the Holy Spirit, indwelt by the Spirit of God, and joined together as one family in the Lord, the church, the bride, the body of Christ. And we are appointed by God as Christians to steward our income and our resources, all of which come from God and belong to God. We're not owners. We don't own anything as Christians. God owns everything. We are stewards, and we are to give as the Lord leads. We are to give primarily through the local church to the cause of Christ's mission on earth. And in this way we lay up treasure in heaven. And so do your giving while you're living, then you're knowing where it's going. Jesus says, "Give and it'll be given to you. A good measure, pressed down, running over, will be poured into your lap." The secret of getting is giving in the Christian life. Lesson number 5, don't ever take advantage of the poor and the oppressed. The Bible says, and Malachi would agree, Proverbs 19, verse 17, "He who is kind to the poor lends to the Lord, and he will reward him for what he has done." He who is kind to the poor lends to the Lord, and God will reward him for what he has done. Proverbs 21, 13, "If a man shuts his ears to the cry of the poor, he will not be answered when he cries out." If a woman shuts her ears to the cry of the poor, she will not be answered when she cries out. And then Proverbs 14 and verse 31, "He who oppresses the poor shows contempt for his Maker, for whoever is kind to the needy honors God." Jesus, in his teaching in the Sermon on the Mount, and Luke records this in his Gospel in Luke chapter 12, verse 32, "Do not be afraid, little flock, for your Father has been pleased to give you the kingdom. Sell your possessions and give to the poor. Provide purses for yourselves that will not wear out, a treasure in heaven that will not be exhausted, where no thief comes near and no moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." What a blessing that we can lay up treasure in heaven for all eternity by being faithful stewards of that which God has entrusted to us as the followers of Jesus Christ, his Son. And so through the centuries, the prophet Malachi, God's messenger, speaks to us so relevantly and so powerfully once again today. We must constantly guard against apathy and unbelief. Authentic Christianity becomes nominal Christianity, and when it becomes nominal Christianity, it's not Christianity at all. judgment must begin at the house of God. God help us as Christian leaders, as pastors and ministers and priests, as those who lead and feed the sheep that God has entrusted to our care. May God help us to be faithful to the trust that we have. And then the covenant of marriage in the eyes of God is sacred. May it be so in our case. And generous and sacrificial giving is the secret of overflowing blessing. And don't ever take advantage of the poor and the oppressed. God help us that we may be to the poor and indeed to all around us an example of what it is to be an authentic follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. Shall we pray? Our Father and our God, we thank you for the major message of these minor prophets, these who prophesied 2,500 centuries ago, and even more. And yet they speak to us today, and they're as relevant as ever to the 21st century, to life in our society, to our circumstances and our situation. And so help us to heed your word today. Thank you that you speak so clearly through your word. Your word is living and powerful and sharper than a two-edged sword. The entrance of your word gives light. Thank you that every scripture is God-breathed and useful for teaching and correcting and reproving and training us in right living so that we can be all that you want us to be. And so we pray, Heavenly Father, that you would enable us today to heed the messages of these Hebrew prophets from long ago, and grant that we may be able to order our lives in such a way that we demonstrate to the world around us what it means to be a true follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. We know that this is only possible through the ministry of your Holy Spirit who works within us. And so we pray, come Holy Spirit, to sanctify us, purify us, and fill us and control us, so that our life may be a life of joy, of love, of peace, of patience, kindness, and goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. May we reflect Jesus in our words and in our deeds. May our light so shine before others that they'll see our good works and give glory to our Father in heaven. And so we praise you, Lord, for your living word, and help us to live according to the scriptures, that we may know and do your will and have opportunities day by day to be a blessing to others. Now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God, our Heavenly Father, the comfort and communion of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen.
What is our only confidence that our souls to Him belong? Who holds our days within His hand? What comes apart from His command? And what will keep us till the end? Christ he lives.
And what reward will heaven bring? Everlasting life with him.
There we will rise to meet the Lord. Then sin and death will be destroyed. And we will feast in endless joy.
Love.